Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp 2. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck coming from the Fort Lauderdale end of the virtual kitchen table. And of course, since it's so warm and beautiful, it's another beautiful day in my consciousness. And I am delighted to be with my co-hosts.
Hi, this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton, and I'm at the Durham, North Carolina part of this wonderful table. And it is definitely another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And this is the Reverend Doc Bill Holton. I'm also at the Durham end of the table, and it's very definitely another beautiful, beautiful day in my consciousness as well. And as you guys know, Cher and I are the co-founders of a hybrid unity ministry, and our name is the Unity Center for UniversalProsperity.com. And that's Y-O Universal, because it's about your spiritual growth and human happiness.
And the shortcut to get to us is UCFYP.com.
And of course, I have my website, paulhasselbeck.com, where you can find my calendar, as well as my doings, what I'm doing, where I'm speaking, where I'm teaching, and all those fun things. And today on Metaphysical Romp, we're going to look at another article we found on Medium. And of course, Medium is a website that collates, brings together all kinds of writers' blogs and short articles. And this one is 5 Terrible Habits That Are Seriously Destroying Your Mental Health and How to Break Them. Now, that's a long title. I'm going to repeat it. 5 Terrible Habits That Are Seriously Destroying Your Mental Health and How to Break Them. And the author is, and I'm just winging this, friends, it's Chirag Malik. His first name is C-H-I-R-A-G. And capital M-A-L-I-K. And he apparently is a professional writer and writes a lot for Medium. Let's get romping.
All right. He's got some great habits. And what we encourage all of you to do as we start talking about these is do a little self-analysis and just be really honest with yourself when we share the habit and ask yourself, could I possibly be guilty of this particular habit? And what we're going to do is describe the habit, and then he provides some what he calls actionable insights. We love that term. In other words, actions you can take, but we'll, of course, be throwing in our own ideas as well.
And we'll be just borrowing that, won't we? Actionable insights, yes.
We love that term. We love it.
Right. So the first one is you waste every ridiculous amount of time feeling sorry for yourself. That's not what I have, but I know people who live here.
Yes. I actually call that a martyr complex, that we sometimes think that, poor me, why am I always the one who gets stuck with this? Why does everybody else get that, not me? And you kind of use a lot of rationalization around it, but you turn yourself into a mental martyr, if you will.
Yeah, and we would classify that as victim consciousness.
Yeah.
Okay. And so he says, feeling sorry for yourself doesn't get you anywhere in life. We do it over and over again, thinking it will. Isn't that crazy?
And yes, he says it doesn't get you anywhere, but nowhere is anywhere. So it gets you nowhere.
So see, Bill, you're so good at seeing the fly in the logic. Yeah. So it disconnects you from reality, and you are in your own little world telling yourself how the world is, oh no, it's conspiring against me. So the next part's important, because we talk about this a lot. It rewires your mind into a victim mindset. And you were going to say, Cher?
I was just going to say that when you get in your own little world like that, and the world, you think the world is conspiring against you, you start telling yourself those stories. So when you catch yourself telling stories over and over again from the past in your head, and each time they get a little more against you and you feel more sorry. That's a good way to catch yourself and realize you're in this particular habit.
Yeah. And so we build a confirmation bias looking for victim consciousness.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So do we want to look at some, your life, he says one other thing here about this,
yeah.
Your life and your mental health will be a mess when you operate with a victim mindset. We can't improve our life situation by feeling sorry for ourselves. Instead, we may worsen it to a point where there's no turning back. Now, that's a pretty dismal, cynical outlook, but you know, if you stay in that consciousness, I guess that's where you end up.
If you stay in victim consciousness, you're really staying in your own past. You're seeing your mess ups, your screw ups, and you're living in those, and you're not being mindful and living in the present moment.
Yes. And the three of us, we're not so absolute to say there will be no turning back. There's always the opportunity to turn back. But yes. Boy, do you have to wake up.
Yes. Yeah. You have to make that choice of what you're going to, yes. Where your thoughts are going to head.
Yep. Okay, let's look at actionable insights.
All right, so the first one, instead of pitying ourselves for what we lost, we can choose to feel grateful for what we have, right? Here's that good old gratefulness list again, right?
Yeah.
Only one, right? One thing that you're grateful for every day. And, you know, it sounds kind of corny, but it really does work.
So I think this one's been scientifically proven with brain studies. When you develop a great gratefulness attitude, some of your brain structures change.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. And sometimes it's interesting, like we always, I think most of the things say, write five things at the end of the day that you're grateful for. And a nice little challenge is to come up with something different every day.
Yes.
You tend to get into that habit of saying the same five things every day, which you are still grateful for. But if you can add at least one new thing every day, that kind of pushes you to look for the gratitude.
Yeah, that's a really good tip. And this whole idea of feeling sorry for yourself, the first step out of it is being aware that's what you do. Being aware that what you're doing. So all of us, probably from one time or another, feel sorry for ourselves. The trick is not to stay stuck in it and to move on. And the gratitude is the best way you can do that.
Right. We always like to say you can't fix it if you don't know it's broken. So you have to be able to recognize it first.
Yeah. And I haven't used this much lately, but I used to say, and it's still true, I'm only responsible for what I'm aware of. I'm only responsible for what I'm aware of. So I have to be aware of something to do anything about it.
Right.
Yep. Okay. We're ready for number two.
Yep. Why don't you do number two? Oh, me.
Yeah, okay. Bill.
Okay. I'm going to take it. We're having some, just so listeners know, we're all having a little bit of throat issues. So yeah. We're trying to conserve each other's voices here.
Yes.
So number two is you are expecting immediate results. This is interesting because remember the topic, we're talking about toxic habits and that get into your way with mental health, because you think expecting immediate results, how could that be a bad thing? Mm-hmm. So what he says is nothing in life worth achieving comes easy.
So I just disagree with that.
I do too. Yeah. Let's stop here.
Yeah. So I would say some things in life are worth your effort.
Much better rewrite of that sentence. Yeah. Yes.
And a psychologist, his name is Csikszentmihalyi, reminds us that when we're in the flow, things do come easier.
Yeah.
I always get jealous of Bill because he can say that man's name with, it just goes off his tongue. I have to see it and sound it out every time I say it. But yeah, that whole idea of flow. And I don't like the idea that it has to be hard.
Yes.
Doesn't have to be hard.
Yeah, he says this. You have to take the hard road to bring sustainable and meaningful results. That is true of some things, but not all things.
Right. Exactly. Right. Let's see what he says about this. He says, in the world of social media and instant deliveries, everyone on the internet will make you feel that they are living their best life, a world of no insecurities, no vulnerabilities, luxury vacations, and unlimited success, all of that without even working for it. Well, newsflash, life on social media isn't real.
So there's that saying, and I think I heard it from you guys first. What we do when we compare ourselves to somebody all beautiful and wonderful online, we're comparing our blooper reel to their, what is that?
Their greatest hits.
Their greatest hits, yes.
Yeah, greatest hits, yeah. And that whole thing about comparison, I really think he's mixing two things in this one, because that last part he just described is more about unrealistic comparison with other people.
Yeah. Yep.
Which is a little different than expecting those immediate results. But I do want to say with the immediate results, there is a tendency, I know if you're in a business, there is a tendency to read about all the things that are available, the coaches that are out there and the programs and the apps, and they all do kind of promise you can, you know, get 5,000 followers in 10 minutes. And
yeah. Oh my gosh.
I'm a bestseller overnight. And it's like that overnight success. Nobody knows how long it really took to get there.
Exactly. And this life on social media isn't real. Well, it depends on what social media you're working with. So, for example, I use texting. That's the type of social media. And my interactions with my friends are real.
Yes.
And so I don't want to blow them all off because some of them are bad.
Yeah. Right.
And what you guys were talking about is the people who live there aren't living in reality. They're living in realality, R-E-E-L. They keep replaying the old tapes.
Yes.
And they've got to get out of that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Definitely.
So this next paragraph is really interesting. People on the internet have mastered the art of hiding anything that's real. Mm-hmm. But the problem is we go around seeing their The problem is we go around seeing their highlight reels, their best moments, and mistake it as their real life. So the saying that I butchered earlier is we go around comparing our blooper reel mm-hmm. to another person's highlight reel.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And that's so true. And I guess, again, it goes back to what you said, Paul. It depends on who you interact with, even on Facebook and Instagram and that kind of thing, because we've really not necessarily defriended, but blocked getting information around people that just put up negative stuff.
Yes.
And if it happens to pop up, we just scroll past it because you don't have to get all upset because somebody chooses to be that way, but you don't have to allow it in either.
Yes. And we're going to skip the next sentence because it has a word we wouldn't use on our program. Let's move to the actionable insights.
Yes. So the first actionable insight he shares is to create realistic expectations. It takes time, effort, money, and the right belief system to build something that lasts. And I would agree with that, creating realistic expectations. I think that is.
And I think it can be challenging to develop realistic expectations if you're mostly living in the digital world where things seem simple and instantaneous. And so it'll take some investment of time.
And it takes both common sense and, when you think about it, uncommon sense as well.
Yeah,
good. You know, to figure things out.
Good.
Yeah, isn't that really a fascinating thing that people say, well, that's common sense. And then you see most people aren't doing it. So it's really uncommon sense.
It is uncommon sense, yeah. For sure. Yeah. And I think the creating realistic expectations means you become aware of who you have around you, who you ask questions of, who you listen to, like who is in your circle. Because you can't be realistic if the people you're listening to are all trying to pitch something. Be sure you have some people you can count on.
Yes, yes.
And also be realistic to realize that the people in your orbit, when you think about it too, can have groupthink.
Oh,
and so you've really got to move beyond people in your orbit too to get a bigger picture of what's going on.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Yes. And his third point on this, progress towards your goal is rarely in a straight line. That is so important, just like enhancing our spiritual consciousness or enhancing our consciousness in any way is not a straight line thing. It's usually like a stair step. You make progress, you incorporate it. You make progress, you incorporate it. So it's not a straight linear line thing.
And it's also recognizing that sometimes you may have to take a step back to take two steps forward. Yes. And acknowledge when something doesn't work. It's, you know, what can I learn from this? How can I use this in my progress rather than let it set me back?
And this other point that he makes, aim big, but achieve it through setting smaller targets along the way.
Yes.
Because if you have a big target and it takes you a long time, it wouldn't be unusual for you to get discouraged along the way. So big target, little steps.
That's definitely true if you happen to be a results-oriented person who needs to see immediate results, or if you're a procrastinator who tends to wait until the last minute, then you all of a sudden you've got to do everything at once. And this way, yes, you set those little goals along the way and give a deadline for each one.
And the small goals along the way are actionable, which is what we're talking about. The far-reaching goals are theoretical when you think about it.
Oh,
yes, yes. Well, so far, I think the three of us are doing pretty good on these two. Let's see what the third one is. You resent other people's success. Oh, I know people like this. And I might have been a people like that at some time. But now when anybody has a success, I celebrate with them.
Yeah, us too. And I think it's fun to celebrate other people's success. And it is. Sometimes you get that little feeling inside like, wow, how do they get that? When is our turn going to come? Or when is that going to happen for me? And you do get that. But again, it's not the fact that the thought comes in that's an issue. It's if you allow it to pitch a tent and stay.
Yeah.
And that's what we don't want to do. We want to say, wait, where did that come from? That's not, I want to celebrate them and they deserve this success.
Definitely. Definitely.
If you've ever looked at a person and sincerely celebrated with them and said, you deserve this, wow. It really, yes, it makes a difference to people when you say that.
Yeah, it makes a difference to other people too, because depending on their mindset, they may have made a success, but because of what they believe about themselves, they don't celebrate it like they should. But if someone says, wow, you did that, you're so successful, then it's so much better. So
this
much
really
better.
Means something for them. Yeah.
Let's go to the absolute word. I think that is the wiser thing to do.
And we can challenge our listeners, because we'll pick it up next week. So between now and next week, come up with your own actionable items that you think would work for this. And
yes.
Do it if you want to.
Yeah, that'll be great. And so as most of you know, if you've been a listener for a while, that the absolute word is based on the daily word, and it's used with permission. And so the one we're doing is for November 13th, 2022. The word is discernment. That's my preferred word for either wisdom or judgment. And so the affirmation is, I use divine discernment to know my way. When I'm pondering a perplexing question or I need to make an important choice, I pray to synchronize my humanity with my divinity. I remember divine discernment is one of the principles I can use to evaluate my options. After clarifying my question and considering my available options, I release the situation as I focus on my inherent divinity. I affirm, I use divine discernment to choose my way. In prayerful stillness, I feel calm and relaxed. As I conclude my prayer and resume my activities, I may experience a flash of insight or a more gradual knowing. I trust my next steps will arise into my awareness. I am confident as I know what to say and do. I move forward with calm and grace. And then the affirmation is, I use divine discernment to know my way. And I'm using that right now. To know my way is to say, Goodbye, everyone. Thank you, listeners. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck, turning it over to my co-hosts.
And this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton saying thank you so much for being part of our podcast.
And this is Reverend Doc Bill Holton, and the three of us encourage you to see divine discernment as your actionable insight this week.